Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01, and we have Eli Michael and Vivian Prescott in the studio today to talk about what's happening in the world that's impacting folks who are gay, transgender, and queer. They're part of Community Roots, the local organization. So we're going to get into a bunch of stuff today. And you are free to call in anytime. That number is 874-2345 if you want to ask a question or just say hi. So thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Cool. So just give us an update on what's happening with Community Roots and a little bit about what it is for people that might not know.
Sure. Community Roots is our local LGBTQ or queer. We use queer as a way to describe everybody who is sexual or gender diverse in our community. We do social events and activities with meetings once monthly on the third Saturday at 2 p.m. Locations do vary. We have a Facebook page if you want to find out more information. This summer, we had quite a busy schedule. We had our annual picnic in June. We walked in the 4th of July parade, and we did an annual camp out. This last month, we took a little break, and we're planning some activities for the fall.
Right on. Sounds good. So it sounds like your presence is definitely still felt in the community, I feel like, and people that are involved are, obviously, they're meeting with you guys all the time. It's good to have you all in.
Thank you. Yeah, we're always looking for new members. Last winter, we did an open mic, and we would love to have more volunteers. And if people want to see that again, please let us know. We are looking for somebody to help out organizing that and plan other social events as well.
Cool.
Yeah, the open mic was pretty successful considering it's Wrangell and we're a small town, but it was really fun to kind of get people together to share their music and poetry and things like that. So, but I could use some help in doing that because I might go on a short vacation off the island. So it'd be nice to get some help.
Yeah, absolutely. The open mic is very cool. Yeah, thank you all for putting that on.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of good artists and people show up and hang out and partake.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yeah, so I will be excited to go to the next one. Okay, so Eli, had mentioned to me that, I feel like in KSDK, we do focus on local issues a lot, but it's good to branch out and see what's happening in the world and in our nation is impacting what's happening to people everywhere, including in Alaska, including in Wrangell. So we're going to talk about some Supreme Court cases that the Supreme Court is hearing right now. They've already heard oral arguments, and this is regarding discrimination against folks who maybe transgender or maybe queer. So go ahead, lay it on us.
All right. So on October 8th, about a week ago, the Supreme Court heard three cases. Two were combined, so it was really two cases. And it boils down to what does sex define as? Currently, the federal government administration has been arguing on cases of discrimination that sex discrimination covers sexual orientation and gender identity or expression. And there's been a challenge against that. The 1964 non-discrimination policy did cover covered sex, but it did not define sex. Since then, there's been court cases all the way up through the EEOC that have defined sex discrimination to cover sexual orientation and gender identity, meaning an employer cannot discriminate if you don't fit the ideal gender or sex role. And so this is almost on more semantics with people arguing fear of the bathroom, fear of other really irrational fears. And it just boils down to, can an employer dictate what you say and wear based on the biological sex listed on your birth certificate?
Yeah, and so you're saying that you know, while the Supreme Court is hearing this now, there's many federal agencies or federal courts that have made a lot of decisions saying, yes, discriminating against somebody for their sexual orientation is illegal. That is wrong.
Yes. In 2012, I know there's a case for sure in the EEOC, and there has been some lower court as well. I don't have all those court cases in front of me, but they've been cited and used for quite some time. And so if the Supreme Court right now finds that sex is not including sexual orientation or gender identity, it will take away protections across the federal level, which is very disheartening if you do identify as queer or somewhere on the spectrum there, because that means your job is at risk.
Yes, exactly. So basically, the court, it sounds like, you know, advocates for queer folks and transgender folks, this is a point where they're nervous.
I would say beyond nervous. it's terrifying. We've had a long history of fighting for equality and equal rights, and we've gained some ground over the years, most notably in the past couple of years with marriage equality in 2015 at the federal level. And now we're pushing for more protections, basically. Other people have this same protection, and it's used against anybody in the queer community so that people don't have to have a job. It's nerve-wracking for one. It will change. Alaska is one state that does not have any statewide non-discrimination. There are a few cities that do have an ordinance, but no statewide protection. I believe only 13 states have protection at the state level as of right now.
Absolutely.
There's 11.3 million Americans who identify as LGBTQ and probably more who could be vulnerable to being fired on the basis of sexuality and gender identity. So that's a lot of people.
And that number was out of the study in 2015. They surveyed about 28,000 transgender and gender nonconforming participants. It was completed by the National Center of Transgender Equality, NCTE, and the Lesbian and Gay Task Force. That number, I would estimate, as really low. That was published in 2015. That means that data came from 2014-ish. And we do know with the legal protections now in place and more openness in society, more people identify. I've heard numbers in other studies of youth, anywhere from 25% of the youth identifying on this spectrum. So we're talking millions of people that this would affect.
Absolutely. And tell me if I'm right or wrong. You know, this case is so very different than marriage equality, because even before it was decided, yes, we're going to have marriage equality, you know, you're going into that thinking the worst case scenario is we're back at the status quo, you know. But there was a lot to gain then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, so there's a lot that you can lose if this goes sour. But I'm wondering if they, you know, if they say, yes, sex includes, you know, how you identify, and it includes, you know, who you love, who you have sex with. You know, is there stuff to be gained?
Absolutely. So marriage equality was gained after a Supreme Court ruling. Eddie Theospider fought the Supreme Court case because they were married in Canada in 2007, and when one of the partners died, the Supreme Court tried to collect on estate tax, roughly in the estimate, I think, of $175,000, if my memory serves me right, which would have been waived if their marriage had been recognized within the United States. Eddie won, and that court case set the precedent for allowing the federal government to recognize all marriages between two people. So this court case could set the groundwork to have these non-discrimination policies in place at all state and federal levels. And then cities and towns and states will not have to fight for this as well.
Yeah, we're talking housing protections, equal health care, all kinds of things that are big issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so this is referring to 1964 Civil Rights Act or Amendment Act.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what I think, so what is up in the air? Why are people questioning this word sex? Why is it ambiguous to some people and other people it is not? Can you all explain that for me?
How much time do we have? I guess I would want to start with like some basic education, and that's how do you define sex and how do you define gender? People use the same terminology, but they're two different things. And we don't have 8 hours for a training, but a basic definition of is sex is your sexual organs or your characteristics that you're identified with at birth. Gender is more of that internal presentation. So if we use that different dividing, you're looking at sex as what you're assigned at birth, but we also know that there are a range of identities. And we traditionally have put people in a box of male or female. That started way back early on. I could go into some history on sex theory from Talcott Parsons in the 1950s. And that came out of the women who were in the workforce during the World War II, and then men came back, wanted to get their jobs, and they did not want the women there. And so the sex theory really developed in pushing women back in the household and pushing this certain box. And that has carried on for a very long time. And so if you don't identify very clearly within one or two box, then you're on the outside. And that's where a lot of this discrimination and harassment, because people aren't identifying within the two boxes because there are many more. And so I'm getting a little sidetracked here. I don't want to go too far off the rabbit hole. I get really excited talking about these things.
Yeah, I like theory.
and so, there's a lot of theories based on, but we're kind of stuck with a group of people thinking that there's only two boxes and you must fit and look a certain way, and a group of people who are done and tired of saying, no, we don't, and it's okay. You can mix and match. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to be in a certain role, basically. And so now we're at the federal government trying to make a decision on what is that a protective category in non-discrimination or not. And as Vivian was saying earlier, it affects healthcare, housing, employment, going to the doctor's office and getting care. It's a trickle-down effect. And having these protections in place protects a group of our population who needs it.
And the Supreme Court also, they have a precedent for this that they have to consider, too, because in Price Waterhouse versus Ann Hopkins, she was passed over for being a partner. And because they told her if she would walk more femininely, talk more femininely, dress more femininely, wear makeup, have her hair styled, and wear jewelry, then she would probably get the job. And the Supreme Court already ruled that requiring her to conform to stereotypes associated with being a woman demonstrated sex discrimination. So that's already been determined.
Absolutely, yes. So, and it sounds like, you know, what is the question that the justices are going to be debating or just considering is, does sex, which may have in 1964 been considered, you know, are you a woman or are you a male? Now they have to consider that doesn't necessarily apply to a, you know, does that apply to a binary or does it apply to a spectrum? And does that, you know, does sex not just represent your gender, but does it represent your sexual orientation, who you sleep with, who you love?
Yes, it's covering, what does sex really cover? And we know sex and gender is different, but in the purpose of protections, they're intermixed so much, and if you're requiring people to look and dress and act a certain way, how do you determine that? Are you determining that on their biology or on their sexual orientation or their gender identity? And so adding in more words to the non-discrimination policy for sexual orientation and gender identity, I believe, is the best way to go to extend these protections, because it's not, I mean, it's something innate. It's something you can't change about yourself. And we don't discriminate on things that we can't change about ourselves. So I believe it all should be included. And I know with the court cases, people try and derail and talk about bathroom fear and all these irrational fears. And that's a completely different topic. And if you just focus on the basis of it, it's covering protections for your body, basically. Who gets to say what you look like and what you don't?
Yeah, and who you get to be with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We can go to a short break here in a little bit, but anything else we should know about the court cases, or just the impacts? You've mentioned 11.3 million people this could be affecting.
That's adults.
Of adults, yeah. Thank you.
No, I'm not counting youth. Current estimations say about 2.5 of our population. I've seen upwards of 4.5, which is a lot of millions of people. And that's not counting our youth, too, and the society and culture that they grow up into. And it factors all the way down to what kind of toys your kid plays with. Are they getting socialized from a very young age to only play with certain toys, or are they going to be expanded to everybody and have, you know, equal rights, open rights, and be recognized who they are instead of being in their box? The rulings for the cases are due out in June of next year, so they have some time to debate. The biggest issue right now is how many judges are for and against, and it's pretty split, with the determination factor pretty much resting on one guy, and I can't remember his name at the moment. And that will swing it either way. So we won't know anything until June of next year.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. And you are listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. We have Eli Michael and Vivian Prescott in the studio today. We're talking about really all things gay, transgender, and queer. So if you want to ask a question or just say hi, that number is 874-2345. All right, everybody, the time is 1:20. So we've got Eli and Vivian. They're with Community Roots, your local LGBTQ group in town. And we're just really talking about all things that are relevant to our lives. So let's go ahead. Eli, what do you want to kick off with now?
So we've referenced this survey. There's two main ones, the U.S. Transgender Survey, and this is where we're pulling all our data from. It was first published in 2011, covered around 6,400 participants, completed again in 2015, and they had nearly 28,000 respondents. And the data remained relatively the same. And that's where we really have our data of what are the negative effects. Suicide is one of the leading cause. I just saw in the news a couple more, some murders and some other suicide directly related to the transgender population. We know that the transgender and gender nonconforming population has a suicide rate of 41% attempting suicide. That's almost one in two attempting suicide in the past year. That's nine times the rate of the general population. And we also know that the discrimination and harassment affects healthcare. 20% of the people were saying they had to teach their medical providers about their, or 50% had to teach their medical providers about care. 20%, that's one in four, were turned away for services, including emergency services. We know that in the public accommodation sector, including any police, law enforcement, driver's license, DMV, any of those public sectors, discrimination was at a 35%. It's very difficult to get your name and gender marker changed across the different policies and programs, and trying to jump through all the hoops to get that causes a lot more psychological distress. I could keep going.
Eli, go ahead and tell me, you know, maybe people don't have a good idea of why somebody might be discriminated against at their healthcare provider or by law enforcement. What could happen that would, you know, show that?
Okay. The effects of it, are you talking?
I think, in what ways can somebody be discriminated against at a hospital or at a clinic simply because they are queer or gay?
I think it's the fear. People don't want to treat you because of blank, and it's either a fear, and sometimes it's religion or personal beliefs. And to have a medical professional who sworn to protect and care for people to say, I won't touch you, you don't belong here, get out of my office, is disheartening, like, in the very least. I myself have been turned away, and it's like, where do you go when you're told, like, you're not even a human being? And there's a lot of words to describe that comes to mind, and it directly affects the suicide rate. It affects depression. It affects substance use. All of those factors, it may not seem like a big deal, but when you're hearing that day in and day out and you don't have the support of anybody, like, it is very challenging to keep going and try and find that light and try to find somebody else like you. And that's why I believe visibility is so important.
Thank you, Eli. Okay, well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was a good point. Okay, keep going. You're talking about, we're saying that this really impacts how you look at things, how you get through the day.
Absolutely. We all know that love and support of people that we care about is a big protective factor. In the mental health and behavioral health area, we focus a lot on support. And who is your support? Oftentimes we turn to our family and friends, and if those people aren't going to support us, then it's pretty dark. That's our first line of defense. And then to go to a medical or some other professional, or say your police officer, to have them completely treat you lower than a human is devastating. And so these protections that we're trying to get is to help prevent that. You may have different beliefs, but that's fine. We all have different beliefs, but in the end, we're all human. We're all asking to be treated the same and not less than. We're not taking away rights. It's just extending coverage, the same coverage that other people enjoy.
Right on. You know what? That makes sense to me. Okay. And so, I mean, so what should people know about to keep themselves coping, to keep themselves from getting to a place where, you know, maybe at the worst end, they're considering suicide?
I'll bring that back around to support. I know Community Roots and a lot of organizations give away stickers, and that marks a safe spot. And we do that so that people know who they can go and talk to. If you don't know how somebody feels and you share something very intimate about your life for the first time and somebody has a negative response, that's gonna be really devastating to your mental health, your psyche, your soul. And so to know who is safe is a starting place. Community Roots offers free stickers. Please feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or down the street. Like, I always carry some. Share that support. Find those people that you can support you and reach out to them. And then another big piece is education. I'm always happy to train and educate. I've done trainings on basic queer 101, and I'm happy to do more. as well as Community Roots. There's lots of free information out on Google as well. Lots of different resources. Joining a club such as Community Roots or your local GSA at the school or Facebook groups online. Like, there's support out there, and it's I'm not saying it's on you to reach out, and that's why we offer the stickers, so other people to reach out so that you know.
Community Roots is actually going to have a Wrangell-specific safe space sticker designed. Tawny Crawley, an artist, is going to design it for us, so we'll see what she comes up with. But the idea is to have the sticker available so people can put it on their laptop or their car or whatever they want, and then they'll know, people know that you're a safe person to talk to.
Yeah, that's very cool. Anything else you all want to talk about before we head out of the studio today?
There's so many things that come to mind. You're loved and cared for. You're not alone. There are people here in this community, there are people here in this town, in this world, who care and love and support everybody. And please find somebody that you can talk to and trust, and get together with somebody, share, educate each other, get out there, find your support systems, build some new ones, enjoy some new activities, get involved. And that goes for our allies too. We always have meetings, other events. There's a lot of ways to get involved, and the easiest way is to grab a sticker.
And we do have allies in the healthcare field here, and there's allies even at the police department now, so that's really cool. And anybody can talk to Eli or myself, get a hold of us on Facebook. I have people, in fact, messaging me on Facebook about my child just came out as gay, or my sister or my brother or whatever. What shall I do? Or what would you do? And things like that. So it already happens to me.
Yeah, and that's how you are related to this, to the queer community, is through, it's your daughter, right?
Yeah.
She came out. Yeah. So very cool. Definitely get a sticker. I want a sticker, guys.
I got stickers. I'll bring you some.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in. I know we could talk further, but just keep us appraised of what you're up to. It's very interesting. And even talking about what's happening at the Supreme Court is interesting and relevant, and even talking about theory is interesting and relevant. I like that stuff. Thanks for coming in. I'll see you guys.
Yeah, thank you very
much.
Yeah.
And everybody know that you are loved and cared for.
The time is 1:29. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock.